look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, Bruce, thanks for being patient this morning. We've got a million things going on out here at the Public House. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Marty.
Boy, and we're gonna, right after Bruce, we're going to have one of our favorites. And he's walking in here. You're going to hear a big cheer for Ryan Vogelsong is going to be with us this morning as well. All right.
There's a class act.
Boy, I'll tell you, Bruce, you know, I was looking up his stats today. Sit down, Ryan. You could talk to Bruce Jenkins, too. How about his postseason stats in 2012? I mean, you know, against Detroit, seeing him in that World Series, what an amazing career he had with the Giants.
Well, yeah, it was just terrific. I mean, you didn't know what you were getting. You know, he'd come a long way back. He had a terrific support from his wife, Nicole. And, you know, as soon as he got to the Giants, it just seemed right. And like you say, his performances were just off the charts. And every time he comes back to the park, there's just a tremendous warm feeling, a great ovation for him. And it's just one of those great stories. And he's a guy that's he's an all-time Giant.
Ryan, say hello to Bruce Jenkins here. You got to turn the mic on there. All right. There you go.
You got me now?
Yep.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Ryan.
How
you doing, man?
Good.
Yeah, Ryan, Bruce just explained it. You know, you're one of those stories of baseball. But to excel like you did in the postseason, it's something that, you know, as each year goes on and you look back on it. I had Carmen this morning. I said, give me his stats again. I forget. Never lost a game in the postseason that you started. 292 earned run average, 37 innings, a 1.2 whip. Listen to this, Bruce. 2012 postseason, 3-0, 1.09 ERA in four starts. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, against the Cardinals in Detroit. Yeah, that's the defining moment there. But his entire postseason, you know, 32 hits in 37 innings, gave 29 guys, and was just, you know, more than anything, he was just in command. There was a command about him that made everybody feel like, you know, this is the guy we want out there. You know, unbeaten in the postseason says quite a bit. So does a 1.297 whip. So beautiful stuff.
What did you think, Ryan, in that postseason? I mean, now we look back at 6 years later or whatever, you look back to that 2012. What did you think now when you look back on it?
You know, it's hard not to think about individual stuff, but I mean, most of my memories from that are what we did as a team. You know, going into Cincinnati down 0-2 and winning three in a row in a place where they hadn't lost three in a row all year. You know, then being down 3-1 to St. Louis and winning three in a row, and then nobody picking us to do anything against Detroit, and then we just slapped them right across the face.
But the Cincinnati game, here's Homer Bailey.
Yeah.
Right? And look, he's almost pitching a no-hitter. You make one mistake, and I'll see you later.
Yeah, and, you know, I think I probably talked to you about this before, but that was the hardest game, I thought, out of the whole thing. One, the ballpark, we all know that the ball jumps there. I mean, fly balls or homers some days. The lineup they had was extremely tough. I mean, a lot of good hitters in that lineup at that time, and they all had power. So that for me, and then you take that he was throwing a no-hitter until the seventh inning, and I remember I only went five innings that night because I threw a ton of pitches because I just was not going to make a mistake in the middle of the plate. And I think I threw, you know, around 100 pitches in five innings, and I remember coming out, and Kane came over and shook my hand, and I said, buddy, we're going to win this game. And he said, what? And I said, man, look, we just scored a run, and we don't even have a hit. Yeah. And I said, we're going to win this game, and we did. And, you know, that night changed the momentum for us for the whole rest of the postseason. But that was definitely the hardest game. I don't think I've ever been as mentally fatigued after a game as I was that night.
Well, go ahead, Adam.
You're down 2-0 going back to Cincinnati for a three-game series. You got to win all three of them. What's that plane ride like? Because it was a rare scenario where you got the home field advantage happened after you played two on the road.
Right. The plane ride was probably the best thing that happened to us, honestly. You know, we got beat up pretty bad here the first two games, and I think that plane ride kind of gave us a chance to reboot a little bit as a team. You know, there comes with some pressure in playing at home in front of your home fans. You're supposed to win. You're not supposed to lose here. And I think us getting on that plane together as a team and just getting away from San Francisco for the next 3 days at that point in time was probably the best thing that could have happened to us. It allowed us to regroup a little bit and talk to each other and slap each other around a little bit and decide that, you know, we weren't going to go home without a fight. I just remember telling guys, I said, hey, let's just not turn around and fly home. I can't tell you if we're going to win this series or not, but let's just not go play one game and get back on this airplane. That's too far of a ride. I'm like, let's just go play three at least and see what happens.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, to me, that series, it might be the most memorable of all of them, of all the postseason series that they had, because it seems so improbable. You're in Cincinnati, and the things that went down there, the character that the team showed to get through that was just unbelievable. And you know, what's cool about it, there's so much transition in the game now, and guys moving here and there, but, you know, they still have a bunch of guys from that team. Belt and Crawford and Pence are still around, and Panic, Sandoval, you know, Bumgarner, that continuity of the club, I think, is a real hallmark of what they've done.
Bruce, last night, Derek Rodriguez, another great game for him. Suarez earlier in the week, a great game for him. Now it's Bumgarner, Cueto, and Samardzija. All of a sudden, the rotation looks like a rotation.
Well, it really does, and I should correct myself. Panic was not on that team. The other guys were. But, yeah, watching Derek Rodriguez, I mean, you know, you talk about a guy like Vogelsong who just exudes command and confidence out there. I think you see a little bit of that in Derek Rodriguez. You know, we know his background. He's been around the big league since he was a little kid. He's certainly not mystified or terrified by anything that's going out there. But you just it's funny, they were talking to his dad on the air, and then Pudge Rodriguez said he's not a power pitcher, but I wouldn't say he's a finesse pitcher either. I mean, he acts like a power pitcher. He's got some pretty good heat on the fastball, and he's got a lot of variety. So he does overpower hitters, and, you know, he's a guy who can get the big strikeout when you need it. He's tough with men on base, and I think it's very cool that he seems to have solidified that rotation spot.
Ryan, when you see these kids on the mound, and you know what you went through, look, when you first came up and then to Pittsburgh and then mm-hmm. Japan and coming back here, you found it late. What do you think when you see these kids at this age?
Yeah, I think for me with Derek, it is really, really cool for me to watch him. And everything that he's able to do on the mound with the ball and mentally and focus-wise, and he hasn't been pitching that long. I mean, this is stuff that it took me 15 years to figure out, and this kid's figured it out in like two or three. And, you know, obviously I think that's probably comes with a lot from talking to his dad. You know, I saw the interview last night, too, and his dad said they talk almost every day. So I think that's probably helped him mature a little bit faster and understand things a little bit faster. But the things that he's able to do with the baseball right now after the inexperience as a starting pitcher is pretty amazing.
It seems like his dad has really struck the right balance, you know, with the kid. He's not overbearing. You can tell that, you know, Derek's his own man, and he's obviously a totally different player than his dad. But his dad is there and, you know, offering support, but not, you know, trying to not be, you know, the big show in himself, because he had an, you know, unbelievable career, and, you know, some guys, they never want you to forget that. But it's all about Derek right now, and he's really doing some great stuff.
What about Suarez and what he's doing?
I tell you what. Derek and Suarez are both guys, when I saw in spring training, I'm like, these two guys, they're going to figure it out. I didn't know exactly when. I thought Suarez might figure it out faster than Derek, just because he had been pitching longer. He had been in AAA for a couple of years. But even when you're watching Andrew, there's a confidence about him, and there's an understanding about what his game is and what he needs to do to get guys out. And that's half the battle. You have to know who you are. You know, if you're not a power pitcher, you can't be a power pitcher. You got to know what your strengths are and pitch to them, trying to stay away from your weaknesses as much as possible. And I, when I watch Suarez pitch, he understands who he is, what he needs to do to get guys out. And you can see it. He's having success.
Bruce, this month I've dubbed it Survival Month. 3 months are down, and there's a challenging schedule. The All-Star break's in the middle. Somehow in July, teams disappear after the All-Star break. The two or three that you think are hanging around, they disappear. I'm going to ask this to Bruce. I'll ask it to Ryan as well. First, Ryan, Is there a point in a season when a team says, you know something, we're in this thing, that we know we can stay in this thing? And when does that happen?
I think we're getting close.
Yeah.
For me, it was always kind of right around the All-Star break or the trade deadline, sometime in July. You know, if you were a couple, three or four out, maybe into August. But, you know, I always felt like I would say the latest would probably be like August 10th or 11th for me. And fortunately enough, most of the teams I was on, we were in it for a while. We had a couple down years there, but being in the hunt is, there's nothing like it. But I think we're getting close to whether we know what it's going to look like.
Bruce, how about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, the trading deadline is obviously a big landmark because you got to figure out what you're going to do. But, you know, the standings tell a pretty nice story. You know, the Giants have been very inconsistent. I think the fans have been a little exasperated at times, you know, not scoring on the road, and do they really have it? But 3.5 games out is 3.5. That's the reality of it. That's a terrific thing. I will say the Dodgers are a little bit scary right now. I mean, nobody saw Matt Kemp or Max Muncy coming. It's like the first six guys in their lineup are homering with regularity. They're pretty scary. And if Kershaw gets all the way back, they're very scary. But they're right in it now. And it's just so funny how things can change. You know, in spring we were talking about, you know, how they're going to fill out the rotation. What about Stratton? What about Block? And all of a sudden you've got Suarez and Derek Rodriguez there. I think that just gives you a tremendous boost. You know, if you can throw the veteran guys in there and they hold up their end, you've got a heck of a rotation that can hang with any of these guys. So I think right now you're saying that they're in it, and I don't see it changing anytime soon.
You know, I think to add to what he said, I think if you go back to spring training and you look at the roster that's on the field right now, and you're sitting in a room and you said, this is what we're going to have in July, and this is the injuries that we went through,
and yeah,
we're
exactly
only 3.5 games out, I think everybody in the room probably would have stood up and said, heck yeah, we'll take it. So
yeah,
the fact that they're 3.5 out and they're in a good spot as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you could always be in a better spot, but they could always be in a worse spot as well. So they're in a good spot, and I think with everything they've been through as a team, you've got to be pretty excited about where they're at.
How much talking goes on in the clubhouse, like you just said?
You know, it's more of, I don't really like the term next man up. I don't really like that. It's when someone goes down, you know, you have to pick up the pieces a little bit. And I don't think guys have to do more, just do it a little bit better, right? And carry, if somebody's coming in and he's a younger guy, help him carry the load. Don't make him feel like he has to do what the guy in front of him got hurt did. No, he just has to do him, and the other guys around him just have to step up a little bit. And, you know, you got to pitch a little bit better, hit a little bit better, and catch a little bit better. And I think that's more of what you find when stuff, injuries and bad things happen in the locker room.
Two things I want to ask you. One, how do you like Pablo being back, number one?
Well, you and I have talked about this many times. Pablo Sandoval is one of my favorite people on this planet, and it's not going to change for me, whether he's playing good or not. He was always a great teammate to me. He was always great to my family, and that will never change in my eyes. I'm really happy to see him playing baseball well. I know how much the guy loves to play the game. I know how much he respects the game. So the fact that he's playing well is just icing on the cake, but in my eyes, Pablo is always going to be one of my favorite people and one of my favorite teammates of all time, hands down.
Yeah, he adds a lot to the clubhouse, I'll tell you that. Now, the other one, how are you doing, Nicole? Good to see you. Nicole is here as well. Is Pence. And, you know, you reach that point of your career, you know, you get there at some point, and, you know, it's sort of, you don't have the career you had before. But he is adjusting. And what he did last night of coming off the bench and getting a base hit up and hit a rocket up the middle. Every team needs that guy to come off the bench. And if that's it for him, I think he's a big part of what can happen.
And listen, he still has experience that some of the guys that are still on the roster had with winning playoff games, with winning World Series. You can never have too much of that. You can never have too much experience in those kind of situations. And he has it. I saw the game last night as well, and I thought that at bat was awesome. I was having dinner with a buddy, and we were talking about it, and I'm like, man, that was a great at bat. Ended up being the game winner, you know? Gets a second, and Cutch drives him in, game winner. So Hunter's still got some game left in him, and I think, like you said, he's adjusting to what he's capable of doing these days, and but I still think there's some value in that.
Bruce, we talk about, you and I talk about it all the time, about that veteran pinch hitter. We wish there was a 26-man roster, a 27-man roster. Pence could be that guy that you and I always talk about.
Yeah, well, you know, both of those guys you mentioned there, Sandoval and Pence, there's just a tremendous spiritual quality to those guys. Like Ryan said, Sandoval, he just loves the game so much. He obviously still has a lot of game left. He can literally play anywhere. If you said go out and play second base or go out and pitch or go out and catch, he'd go, yeah, where's my glove? Where's, you know, I'm ready for all of this stuff. And it's just a tremendous career revival. And Pence, I mean, you talk about belief in himself, belief in the team, what it all stands for. You ride out, you know, the slump that he's going through or whatever, because all of a sudden something happens like last night. Like you say, tough right-hander with a tough slider, a kind of guy that's given a lot of trouble. He did kind of lunge at the ball, but he still just hit a seed up the middle. And all of a sudden, you're in business. So, you know, that spiritual quality, I think all the great teams have guys like that. And these are two guys on the bench who will play occasionally in the field, and it's just invaluable.
What do you think of Pablo pitching?
I saw it. That's one of the better curveballs I've ever seen.
Spin rate.
Yeah. No, you're talking to the wrong guy about spin rate, but it was still a really good curveball.
Very good. What are you doing these days, Ryan?
Well, I'm doing some stuff for the Giants. I'm doing 10 days a month, going around in the minor leagues, talking with the pitchers, coaching a little bit, just being another set of eyes. You know, I've been into Augusta twice. I've been to Richmond. I'm heading to Salem, Kaiser, and San Jose here in about a week and a half. Hit Sacramento and probably San Jose and Richmond one more time before the end of the season. And other than that, just being a dad, trying to play some golf as much as I can, and that's about it.
Can you play Augusta?
I played Augusta, but
did you?
Not right now. They closed that place down for the summer.
Yeah.
How'd you hit them there?
I actually played pretty good when we played there. So
winter rules, you know.
Yeah, it was good. We played in January. It was in great shape still, and
yeah,
played pretty good.
I want to ask you this about the pitchers. Sean Anderson got to go to the Futures game. What do you think of him?
I like Sean. The first time I saw Sean was in spring training, and the first time I saw him, I'm like, wow, it's a big kid, and has a really good set of tools. Stuff is good. I think the next step for Sean is going to be just pitch sequences and trusting his changeup. A lot of conversations I had with him when I was there was about trusting his changeup and how to set guys up. And but for me, he has all the tools. It's not if, it's when for him.
Boy, Ryan Vogelsong with us. One other one I want to ask you about. Have you seen the 6'11" kid yet?
I haven't.
The Jelly?
I will see him in Salem next week when I go there. And I'm looking forward to seeing him, and I'm looking forward to seeing Joey Bart in action.
Joey Bart can hit him.
Well, that's what I heard, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Hell of a debut.
And there's one other kid, Barr.
Jason Barr.
What about him?
So I did see Jason in spring training, and then I saw him in Augusta. He just got moved up to San Jose, and he's had a couple really, really good outings. Good stuff, you know. He's a young kid, you know. I think I wouldn't say young kid, but he's young, 21, college draft. And stuff's there, though. The stuff is there. These kids are, it's hard to remember what you were like when you were that age and in an A-ball and stuff. And I'm trying to go, when I'm talking to them, I'm trying to put myself back in that situation. And it all starts with fastball command. The guys that pitch good in the minor leagues command the fastball and throw their off-speed stuff for strikes. And so far, he's shown us the ability to do that.
Boy, beautiful. Well, great to have you here. Let's get Nicole on for a second.
Yeah.
Nicole, take that mic there for a second. Nicole Vogelsong is with us. Oh, good. You got it. Oh, perfect. All right. So how's life with this guy not pitching anymore? What's life like for you guys?
Well, it's a lot less stressful.
Okay.
Honestly. You know, thanks to Kristen and Buster Posey, Ryan is a Pitbull fan now. And I get breakfast every morning while he dances to Pitbull. And then he heads off to golf, and I go see my horse, and we come back, and we get Ryder. And we're living our best life right now. So
our stress in baseball has gone from me to Ryder. He is.
Yes.
He's
Little
eight,
League.
He's on an eight-year-old all-star team. And we panic for him sometimes.
Yeah, I kept saying, God, haven't I paid my baseball penance? And haven't I done enough stressful days? And it just transfers from him to Ryder. But
well,
other than that,
I want to ask you this, and Bruce, jump in whenever you want here for Nicole or Ryan. When you think back to his postseasons and his what happened in that 2012, 2014, what comes to your mind?
Well, 2012 for me, I felt like that was just his destiny. I felt like God had taken all the years and all the trials and all the tribulations, and he had just put it into that year. And I was less stressed that postseason than ever before. Now, 14, I was a little more nervous. I was a little more stressed. But 2012, I knew that he was going to be the best he could be every single time, and it never failed. But 14 was a little different.
I was pretty locked in 12.
Yeah, you were.
Even when we started the playoffs, you know, that my last start of the year that year was in L.A. against Kershaw. And I took a no-hitter, and I lost a no-hitter in the fifth inning. And so I my last three starts that year were probably as good as I had thrown the ball all season. So going in, and then, now before that, about five starts, I had struggled. And then, but my last three that year were as solid as you could get. So when I was going into the postseason, I was in a good spot. And I just knew that, like she said, I just had this feeling deep inside that it was my time to shine.
Yeah,
that all the stuff I had been through was to get to that moment.
Yes.
And I wasn't going to let anything stop me from getting where we wanted to be.
Boy, what a great story. Bruce, I'm going to let you jump in here. This, we miss you. We miss Ryan Vogelsong. We miss you, the man, right? Don't we, Bruce, that type of pitcher?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's so invaluable that he's moving through the Giant system because, you know, the young pitchers can talk to a guy who not only did some tremendous things and was a full-on character guy, but just the perseverance that it took for him to get where he did. You know, I'm sure a lot of people had written him off, and when guys come up through the minor leagues, it's very seldom a smooth trip, you know, straight to the bigs without any problems. You're going to have some adversity, and Ryan can talk to these guys all about that, and you know, to have a happy ending and stay with it, and as he said, throw strikes.
Boy, I tell you what, the trips that I've been on, the conversations that I've had with these kids have been awesome, and it's not always about mechanics and pitch location. It's about battling.
Yeah.
Just because you struggle once doesn't mean you're not going to struggle again.
Yeah.
You know, there's no rule that says because you struggled in May and then you pitched good in June that you might not struggle again in July. And so that's kind of what my message is to them is like, hey, there's going to be some tough times, but if we can talk about how to get through them a little bit quicker and make those times shorter, that's where I'm bringing something to the table for them.
Boy.
So instead of struggling for 2 months, they might struggle for 2 weeks instead. And I think a lot of it is just knowing that it might happen. I didn't have that kind of, you know, leadership from – I didn't know anybody that played before me. I was just going off what my coaches were telling me. And so when I struggled, I thought, oh, it's over with. Now I just struggled. I'm going to be good now. Well, then you get punched in the face again, and you get punched in the face again. And so if I can give them a heads up that might happen, it should make their time a little bit easier, I would think.
Beautiful.
And
beautiful.
It's funny, like you mentioned, like spin rate earlier, and like saber metrics and stuff. And that's so hard for us to look at and judge someone by. Because if you look at Ryan, 2011, there's not a man on the planet who would have put their money on him to come back and do anything worth anything, and, you know, taking his whole career before that and the numbers in Japan and the AAA that year before. And so when we look at it, I think we look at every guy for their heart, like a Hunter and a Pablo and the guys that are here first and out of the clubhouse last. And so spin rate and sabermetrics and those numbers are all lost on, I guess, old people like us.
But speaking to Marty saying that we miss Ryan Vogelsong, the man, that's kind of unique to the game of baseball. You don't, a lot of times in basketball and football, it seems guys get by on that pure athleticism.
Yes,
you don't get these
gutted
out stories, the Miles Mikolases now, who've gone similar paths that you went. You get these human stories in baseball that I don't feel like we get in other sports.
Right.
Yeah
I agree with that.
Boy, you got
for
a question
me,
here. Go ahead, Bruce.
For me, Nicole just spoke the gospel there. That was beautifully said. There's no set of numbers that can tell you about a guy's heart, about his competitive nature, about how he reacts to failure. and just the person that he is. You've got to see it. And that, to me, you know, I'm an old guy, and I've not come around terribly to analytics because I don't watch the game that way. We all watch it differently. But I think what you said there is the essence of judging a player and a man.
Well, you got a question here from Bill Porter. Does Ryder get enchiladas before he plays?
He does not. He does not.
Spaghetti.
He's already a better hitter than I was, so we're on the right path. But we're not to the enchiladas yet.
No. Well, you got off the enchiladas, right?
For a minute, and then I was back on them. Yeah, I'll get him to that point at some point. We'll get him on the enchiladas.
Okay, all right. Hey, it's great to have you here. Right? We could stay the whole for another hour.
Yeah. It's so good to be here.
But it's great to see both of you, and I think it's just good to hear you both of your voices. Nicole for her wisdom and being with Ryan through this journey and what it means to you. Just to hear your voice and say those words, it means so much. And then for Ryan, Bruce, I'll say it again. I don't know if there's a pitcher like him on, maybe Bumgarner, that's it, on the Giants. And they miss that guy, don't they, Bruce?
Yeah, I'd throw Tim Lincecum in there. I mean, I'd throw Kane in there. But, I mean, it's just, and it's so funny, you know, Ryan and Nicole show up, and all of a sudden, tons of memories come back. Yeah. You know, we've only kind of scratched the surface here. But, you know, these are the things that define a franchise and the decade the Giants have had, and you know, it makes you think that it might continue sometime.
You know, I think one of the best things about those rotations that I was in was we were all different. We all came from different backgrounds. But when we took the ball, we all had the same mentality. And that was, you aren't going to beat us. And we were going to keep the ball as long as he let us keep it. And I think we all fed off each other in that way. And it's funny, I had a kid ask me in Augusta the other day. This is kind of funny. He asked me, he said, is it true that Madison Bumgarner was really nice until he started hanging out with you? And I was like, well, maybe kind of, I guess. I mean, maybe I did rub off on him a little bit. So but it was just kind of funny.
Well, anyone do the routine of before you pitch the day and all that stuff that you did? I mean, I'll never forget the face.
Yeah. Serious face.
Yeah.
Don't mess with that face.
No, I'll never forget that. Come on, you kidding?
I honestly don't know if anybody does or not. I mean, Bum gets pretty locked in, and you know, I've seen him on game day, and he gets in his place. But you know, one of my biggest things is why I failed when I was younger was because I didn't know how to focus, and I didn't know how to concentrate. And once I learned that was my problem, I had to get in that place, and I couldn't get out of it once I was in it. So that's what it all came from. Was I mad? Some of the thoughts going through my head were to hurt people, yes, but it was mainly just, okay, I'm in my concentration zone. I'm thinking about what I want to do tonight, and I got to stay in here because once I get out of it, I can't. It's hard to get back in.
And that started the night before at home. I mean, he was watching video for days on the team before, but then he would start that night before. He would come home from the game and be watching video or watching the highlight or whatever, and I just knew to let him do his thing because he had to focus or it was not going to be good.
Yeah, put him in the room, throw a couple of enchiladas in, and say,
I'll
see you in the morning.
And back out.
Right, I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I love having you guys on. Carmen, of course, arranges. Thank you, Carmen. Carmen is a media star now. You know that.
I know. Oh, I follow her. I can't get in touch with her anymore.
But I appreciate you guys being here so much.
Thank you.
And Bruce is right. Just to remember what you guys meant to this team. You are champions.
Well,
and now
you.
It's very obvious to see why.
Thank
so
you.
It's good to have you come back. Bruce, thank you again.
Oh, it was a real pleasure, believe me. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Ryan, Nicole, thank you. Adam,
thank
we'll
you.
Take a break. We'll
All
be
right,
back
guys,
more in
you.
The Public House right after this.